I was walking down the beach the other day and I just noticed up ahead of me Jesus and Moses walking along by the sea. Jesus said to Moses, "Hey Moses, do you reckon you can still part the sea with your staff?" And Moses thought, "Yeah, I reckon I could still do that." "Do you reckon you can still walk on the water?" he said to Jesus. Jesus goes, "Yeah, of course." "You go first, Moses. Let's see what you can do." Moses holds up his staff. The water parts. Jesus says, "Oh, well done. You still got it, mate. That's excellent." "My turn," Jesus says, and he starts to walk out on the water. But he's not walking on the water. He's walking on the sand under the water. He's walking in the water. He goes, "Oh, that's weird." Comes back out to the shore and he says, "I'll try again." Starts walking on the water, but he's sinking. Walking on the sand under the water. "Oh, this is really, really strange. I'll give it one more shot." So he starts walking out on the water again, sinks, looks down, goes, "Oh, there's holes in my feet." Jokes aside, the biblical narrative tells us how Moses held up the staff and God saved the nation of Israel walking through the water. A mighty miracle that happened so long ago. Now, we don't really know where that happened exactly. A few people have made assumptions. We won't go into that today. But the map on the screen gives us some idea of where and how God led his people from slavery in Egypt to the promised land that he'd always promised to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So today, as we look at this story as described in Exodus, I want us to focus mainly on who God is and how we are to relate to him. You know, God is God and he will always do things his way. His ways are higher than our ways. We don't always understand them. We don't always, you know why he waits to the last minute. What's that about? But God is God and he can do what he likes. He's the great creator and sustainer of all things. And in him is light and love and truth and freedom. And as long as we walk with him and follow him, these are the things that he leads us into through redemption and victory and salvation. And it's his desire for us to experience all these wonderful things and give him the glory and the honor and the praise. So let's pray and then we'll get into the text. Lord, in you we live and move and have our being. Have your way in us today. Amen. So what do you do when you feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place? If you're like me, you probably feel a little bit frightened from time to time, a bit afraid, a bit confused, not knowing what to do or who to turn to, probably a bit, grumbling and complaining. Often we turn to someone else, like hoping that they might help us, like, "I've got this problem, help me." But often no one can help except God alone. And when we wait long enough, when we wait on the Lord, he does come through for us and he provides a way out. We have a God who makes a way where there is no way. And he often makes us wait till the very last point where we can actually acknowledge there is no other way, but my hope is in God. And he makes the way and we can give him the honor and the praise. So that's the first thing I want us to learn from this story today. There's three things. That's the first of three. You know, God could have taken the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and across the desert, just the most simple, direct way to the promised land. But he didn't. It tells us in chapter 13 why. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was the shorter way. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road toward the Red Sea. And the Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. So they left confidently and they were trusting God and God nurtured them. He didn't want them to face wars and go back to Egypt. But look, as soon as the first sign of trouble comes, they're ready to go back to Egypt. Because once they are led, you know, along the sea, and God tells Moses, look, now just turn around and have them camp back over there. And Pharaoh sees what's going on and he's like, oh, those Israelites are confused and wandering around in the desert, like bewildered and confused. What's going on? Let's go get them back and bring them back to slavery. Those Israelites see the armies of Pharaoh coming with all their chariots. These are mighty armies. To have chariots, you had mighty army, and that says the chariots in the text. This is a mighty army coming to get them, and they're complaining to Moses because they got the sea on this side and the army on this side. They're in a between a rock and a hard place. Of course they're afraid. And they start grumbling to Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt, where we're quite happy as slaves, to die in the desert where there are not enough graves in Egypt, they say sarcastically. What have you done to us? We told you to leave us alone. We're quite happy in our slavery, which of course wasn't true. But the first sign of trouble, they don't know the way out. But Moses takes on great leadership at this point. He's brave and he's strong, not like Moses. He must have changed a bit from the start, if you remember a few weeks ago. And he says to the Israelites, just stand firm and you'll see what God will do. I'll read that to you from the text. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, the deliverance he will bring you today. The Egyptians that you see, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. So he's a very brave and bold leader in front of the Israelites right now. But I can imagine Moses then going off to pray and saying, God, do something. What are we going to do? There's no way out. We're between a rock and a hard place. What do we do, God? Just bring a solution. And God says to him, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. And you can imagine Moses saying, oh, why didn't I think of that? Of course. God is amazing, isn't he? He waits the last minute and he brings this amazing miracle of a solution. And Moses just has to trust and obey, and God does the work, and he does this amazing miracle just as he promised he would. And they go through on dry ground. And all this time, you know, God's got his angel and the pillar of cloud and fire behind the Israelites to keep them safe, to keep them hemmed in from behind, to keep them safe from the Israelite army. He did the protection and he's doing the deliverance. And all these people have to do is stand firm looking at God and then move on with God, as he's provided the way out now, which takes another lot of courage. And so off they go through the sea until they come out the other side safe and turn around and find that all the Egyptian armies had followed them into the sea. But as they did, their chariot wheels got stuck. They were feeling less powerful all of a sudden, and they realized God is fighting for the Israelites. Let's turn back. But it was too late, and God allowed the sea to cover them and they all drowned. Now what we learn from this is what God was teaching them all along, because the whole story that we've heard so far was Pharaoh was setting himself up against God. Pharaoh acts as if he's God. Pharaoh thinks he's God. He's greedy and selfish. He wants the control. He's controlling everything. He thinks he owns everybody. And this whole story of the deliverance of the plagues and the Passover, God is showing Pharaoh, you're not God. God trumps Pharaoh. God trumps everyone. You know, when I was going through Bible college and going through ordination, had a little bit of an altercation with the Archbishop at one point, and everyone was a little bit surprised because I was a little bit sassy in my reply. I said, I'm going to selection conference at the end of the year. And he says, well, if the church doesn't want you at that point, it doesn't want you. And I just said, well, we'll see at the end of the year. And all my friends say, God trumps the Archbishop. God trumps bishops. God trumps everybody. This is a saying that we have with my colleagues. I shouldn't probably tell you this. But God trumps everyone, whether they're our friends or our enemies, because he is all powerful. And that's what God is proving in this story against Pharaoh. Pharaoh sets himself up against God and his people, thinking he has the power and the victory and the control. But God teaches Pharaoh a lesson and says, no, you don't. There's just one God to be worshipped, one God to be served, one God to be glorified and honored. And we would do well to recognize that, because when we do set ourselves up in our own lives as God, we usually come undone and come to ruin. We're humbled, I find. And I think all of our enemies someday will be destroyed. God promises that. God will trump all our enemies. So this is a good thing. That's a second thing I want us to learn from this text today. God would have the victory over Pharaoh in this setting and all the Egyptians, and he did. And he provided that way out for the Israelites. So the third point I'm going to make today is that God deserves the honour and praise, and he's earned it really. He's a powerful, miraculous God. He is faithful to his people. He keeps his promises. And as the Israelites are now on the other side of the sea, they've been delivered, they break into song. Moses and Miriam, they write these songs or start singing these songs and leading the Israelites in song, and that is a great response. We're going to look at that text in just a minute, but first I just want us to go back over those first two points, just to recap. God makes a way when there is no way. So when we are stuck between a rock and a hard place, I want you to remember that. Don't grumble and complain to others. Just stand firm and trust for his deliverance and look for that way out, that way. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way to freedom. He is the way to salvation. He is the way to get out of whatever sticky place we find ourselves in. And remember the scriptures too. It says, every temptation that has overtaken you is common to man, God will provide a way of escape so you may be able to endure it. You may be able to get through anything that comes up against you. So look for the way out. Especially, you know, breaking old habits or addictions, as we've been talking about in Lent. When you're trying to move into a new thing and you come up against obstacles, trust God to make a way for you to move forward, and he will. And the second point, God has the victory. God trumps Pharaoh and everyone else. He will have the victory in your life over all your enemies. So you can just trust and keep moving forward with him. I remember when I was going, wanting to divorce my husband. He was a very angry man and I didn't want to stay with him anymore. But I was a leader in a church where they were very much against divorce or even a separation. And they were trying to say that, no, I'll take my husband back and I should be working towards reconciliation. But I had been doing that for 14 years with three separations over that time. And at one point he became very violent and angry, and all the people at church were saying, you've got to take him back. And I was just standing firm. And God gave me a beautiful vision of, remember Elijah and Elisha, where they're surrounded by an army. And Elisha's really afraid and he's going to Elijah, we've got to do something. We're surrounded by the army. I'm really afraid and scared. What are we going to do? And Elijah just prayed to God and said, open his eyes so he can see. And surrounding the army that was surrounding them was God's army, which was going to take the victory. And they didn't have to be afraid anymore because God brings the victory. God fought for them. And God fought for me in that space, because very soon my colleagues and the clergy at that church, their eyes were open to see what was really going on. And I didn't have to fight at all, but I just got that deliverance and that acceptance and could move forward with the way God wanted me to go. So God is good all the time. He trumps everybody else and he will fight for you. We just have to trust. He will have the victory in your life over your enemies, whatever's going on. So the third and final point, for these reasons and many more, he deserves the praise and honour in our lives for who he is, for his faithfulness, for his goodness, for his deliverance, for his salvation. He's a God who is faithful to Israel and also faithful to each of us. So this is the song that Moses wrote or sang. I'll just read a little bit and then we're going to sing a song of victory, a Jewish song that is calls to mind some victorious ways that God works. So this is Exodus 15. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and the driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defence. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers he has drowned in the sea. The deep waters have drowned them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. Skipping a few verses now. You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead your people. You have redeemed in your strength and you will guide them to your holy dwelling. I'm going to leave it there and we're going to stand and sing a victorious song. And I just want you to think about God's victory in your life, the way that he has brought you through really tough times, how he's got you out of those situations when you feel like you're in a between a rock and a hard place. And if that's where you are right now, I just really encourage you to claim that victory already, to keep standing firm with God, to keep following him. He will lead you forward in the way that he wants you to go, and you will be victorious as you walk with him. Would you please stand?